What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. We're finishing up a phone call with Peter in Los Angeles. And Peter, if you could pick up right where you left off.
Well, all these things come, there's a confluence at one spot. And it's the same people that own the central banks and control our currency, that own all the networks, that own our Congress and own our state legislatures enough that 28 of them have already to vote their own children's First Amendment rights away on behalf of these. They're enough of whores, and they'll take that money to vote their own kids' rights away. I noticed, by the way, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just came out today, and she said she was part Jewish. Do you see that? Just like Hillary came out and said she was part Jewish. You got to be that, or you're not going to get elected, man. You're just not going to get elected. Everybody's got to go to Israel and genuflect over there and get vetted by them before they... Nobody gets money on the Republicans or the Democrats unless they sell out to a foreign country, who, by the way, won't allow you to say that our lives matter or all lives matter. They're not allowed to say that. And you're not allowed to say any of that stuff. That's all from them. So we have a stark chance. They will not, I guarantee you, these people will not tolerate this forum or any other forum that can just openly and frankly discuss what really is going on. And as bad as Trump is, he's at least stood up and he's just did the executive order, which they're disobeying, by the way, saying that no longer in the federal government, the military, are they going to have the white people are the root of all evil classes that we've been having for years. So that's their narrative. And at least he didn't go to war with Iran. I think that's probably why they're matriculating over to Biden, who, by the way, is out-Israeling even Trump, who's bad enough on it, but out-Israeling him. And also, he didn't go to war in a big way in Syria, and that must stick in their craw as well. But and then this latest thing where the whites are the devil, classes and all our, hey, listen, they don't like that at all, and they won't stand for it. And so that's what that is what it's come down to. And I'm not a supremacist at all. You know, my family, my daughter is mixed. I'm a poor guy, by the way, with a daughter in college, and I'm retired. And I just sent $20 to you guys, by the way, because this forum is important.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
But if this doesn't survive, it will not survive a Trump loss, period.
Yes,
maybe
I agree.
We won't. If there's 8 years, maybe we won't even as people. But at any rate, that's my spiel for today, Mike. And I'm sorry to go on so long.
All right, not a problem here. And thank you for the phone call. We're going to take two more phone calls, and then we're going to turn the microphone over to the lovely lady Claire, who, if you're on YouTube, you can see her sitting here, gorgeous creature that she is. Okay, we're going to go to Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi there. I watched the replay of that interview with Gingrich. And it was obvious as hell that somebody fired off an order immediately to Harris Faulkner for her to shut that down, because she was caught off guard by that.
Yes.
So somebody, a producer back there, was obviously controlling that discussion, and then they didn't want anybody talking about Soros. And then that blonde twit, Marie Harf, had to chime in. She's just vacuous as an empty drum. But somebody back there obviously did not want them talking about George Soros. And again, from Harris's reaction, it was obvious that it caught her completely off guard, because she's ordinarily a very even-handed, conservative individual. And for her to do that, that was unusual for her. So she had to have been ordered to do that.
I agree.
Anyway, Peter nailed it again as usual. You can't criticize Israel, and now you can't criticize George Soros. That goes to show you who's in charge. Well, that's okay. All I got to say about it. I bet. But watch, replay. Watch that replay, and you'll see exactly.
Yeah, we've got it posted to the front of whatreallyhappened.com right now. So, Kelly, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to go to Joe in Nome. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Our conversation on the 16th. I went to Ron Gibson's site where, you know, because mm-hmm. I like to watch the show there. It edits out the commercials. However, I was shocked to find our conversation was surgically removed from Ron Gibson's.
It wasn't surgically removed. It was a technical issue where YouTube will cut off our feed and we have to reestablish, and we keep trying to do the show through all of that. So nothing nefarious there. It's just one of those things that happens. You can check the live stream channel and see if it's there.
Okay, I will. Yeah. Anyway, it's not like I'm complaining or anything, but the guy that was talking about Giuliani's son of Satan,
yes.
I have to strenuously object.
Okay.
Because I resemble that remark more than anybody I know, because in the Bible, Satan's job is the prince of the principalities of the air, and it was my dad that took the Army Air Corps away from the Army and formed his own branch mm-hmm. of the service.
Okay.
And he also took the Coast and Geodetic Survey away from the Department of Interior and formed his own branch of the service there called NOAA Corps. And he's the one that made El Nino a household word. He's also the one with Ralph Sluts at NIST. And my brother programmed those Cray computers that we gave to China under Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was also the back channel to the Russian Academy of Sciences. He was the director of polar programs for National Science Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
He was there talking for Ronald Reagan at SALT too.
Joe, you've got a really interesting family history here, but I am going to have to cut you off because this is Claire's hour, and I know she's got a lot of things to share with us. So, Joe, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. We're going to close the phone lines. So, Lady Claire, take it away.
Well, thank you, Mike. Always a joy to be here for the show. This article comes to us from antiwar.com. If you have never looked at it, it is an aggregate site, and they do have some op-eds that are extremely powerful, and this is one of them. And the title is September 14th, 2001, The Day America Became Israel. And this is written by Major Danny Sersin, retired military. And it's a bit of hidden history that I did not know. And he talks about the rubble still smoldering at ground zero when the U.S. House of Representatives voted to essentially transform itself into the Israeli Knesset or Parliament. 19 years ago, 11:17 p.m., Washington, D.C. time on September 14th, 2001, when the People's Chamber approved the House Resolution 64, the authorization for the use of military force, AUMF, against those responsible for the recent attacks. Naturally, that was before the precise identities and full scope of, quote-unquote, those responsible were known. So the resolution's rubber stamp was obscenely open-ended by necessity, but also by design. The Senate had passed their own version by roll call vote about 12 hours earlier, and the combined congressional tally was 518-1. Now, this lady and I have many, many reasons to agree to disagree, but I did not know this, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Only one representative, and that is Barbara Lee of California, cast a dissenting vote and even delivered a brief prescient speech on the House floor. And the major is saying it's really hard to watch and listen to all these years later as her voice cracks with emotion amidst everything that was going on. And what she said was, I am convinced that military action will not prevent further acts of international terrorism against the U.S. This is a very complex and complicated matter. And she went on to state, however difficult this vote may be, some of us must urge the use of restraint. Our country is in a state of mourning. Some of us must say, let's step back for a moment and think through the implications of our actions today so that this doesn't spiral out of control.
As it has done.
God bless her. Now, and she goes on to say, now, I have agonized over this vote, but I came to grips with opposing this resolution during the very painful yet very beautiful memorial service. As a member of the clergy said so eloquently, as we act, let us not become the evil that we deplore. For her lone stance, itself courageous, even had she not since been vindicated, she was getting insults and death threats so intense that she needed around-the-clock bodyguards for a time. And it's hard to be right in a room full of the wrong, especially angry, scared, jingoistic ones. Barbara, welcome to
our
world.
Been there, done that, didn't buy the t-shirt.
The only thing was we didn't have the money for a bodyguard, and so we had to move the heck out of the state. And yet the tragedy is America has become one of those things we purport to deplore. The U.S. now boasts a one-trick pony foreign policy and a militarized society to boot. And what have we gotten out of this? Endless interventions, perennial policing at home and abroad, counterproductive military adventurism, government by permanent emergency fiat, and an ever more martial society. We've seen this movie before. In fact, it's playing out in Israel. Now, without implying that Israel as an entity is somehow quote-unquote evil, theirs was simply not a path the U.S. needed or should have gone down. And yet we are seeing this played out again and again in foreign policy against countries like Iran, Venezuela, and China. And by these policies, we are pushing these people closer and closer together in military.
And away from us.
Yeah, and away from us. Is this really an intelligent outcome of U.S. foreign policy? And if we don't watch it, this country may well be at war with much of the rest of the world if they do not find a way of dealing with foreign policy other than at the barrel of a gun, folks. Indefinite detentions with no accusations or charges. Well, Israel does that to Palestinian prisoners all the time. And guess what? In U.S.-operated black sites in Gitmo, this is already what Israel continues to do to alleged enemies of the state, and as I said, most generally, Palestinians. And speaking of Israel, Israel has just gone further round the bend in a rather paranoid way with a new rule in place for the bodies of killed or dying Palestinians, dead Palestinians. Now, this happened on the 2nd of September when the people in the Knesset figured that most Americans would be so focused on their Labor Day brats and beer that they wouldn't particularly notice, particularly the politicians. Well, apparently Gantz and his minions were entirely right, but they are carrying on a decades-old policy in an entirely new way. Now, any Palestinian who is killed or dies in jail, regardless of if they had any political affiliations or not, will have the bodies withheld from their families and are prevented from having a proper burial. Now, apparently, this has actually been approved by the Israeli Supreme Court. Head-scratching moment for me. Way to go, Israel. How they do love and continue collective punishment as a bargaining chip really has no equal in allegedly civilized
societies.
Well,
there have been
societies.
Allegations of organ harvesting from those bodies.
Yeah.
And, you know, Israel's at the heart of a clandestine organ trafficking network that stretches across the globe. In fact, a few years ago, they arrested this rabbi on the East Coast who was part of this organ trafficking ring.
Yeah. But, you know, very sad, very sad. Also, a little closer to our former home, apparently Pearl Harbor Munitions Depot is expanding and it very much concerns the residents.
Yes.
Now, it's a military plan to expand an existing Pearl Harbor munitions depot, and it's raised a lot of concerns that there hasn't been anywhere near enough information released to the public, considering that the depot was the site of a massive and deadly explosion 76 years ago. A 1944 explosion at the Navy's West Lock Annex left 163 guys dead and nearly 400 wounded in what is considered to this day Pearl Harbor's second worst disaster in terms of fatalities. Now, this was reported on Tuesday by the Honolulu Star Advertiser. Now, a draft environmental assessment describes a new Army munitions storage complex at the annex within the Joint Base Pearl Hickam. The project would be built in several phases starting in 2022. It would house 35 storage magazines and a range of support structures, enabling the relocation of existing Army munitions operations at Luilani Annex in Waianae. Now, the Navy is also building a new munitions facility at Westlock with 24 magazines to store Navy ordnance. And this has been awarded to NAN, Inc. It's a $33 million contract last month to build the magazines by September 2022. Now, some community members said the public need to be a lot better informed about the work, and Mike, having lived there for over 20 years, I would say heck yes. And one of the people, Poka La'anui, of the Institute for the Advancement of Hawaiian Affairs, made the observation, the plan contains too much uncertainty and undisclosed materials. The public is unable to effectively participate in this process or to condone an action which it does not understand. And Mike, that person's absolutely accurate.
Yes.
And a full environmental impact statement should be conducted, La'anui said. Well, this is sort of business as usual for the U.S. military in Hawaii. They're going to blindside local residents and move forward with these projects. Folks, the state of Hawaii is a bunch of islands. You can drive from one side, one end of Oahu to the other in about 40 minutes. So if something goes south here with a project of this nature and magnitude, the whole island's going to feel it, Mike.
Yes.
And there's a gentleman by the name of John Bond, who is an historian for Eva Beach. And he says that a large area of Western Oahu could be vulnerable to an accident.
Absolutely.
And yeah, there are very major impacts to the Eva West Oahu community. No hearings, no public presentations when it's happening literally in their backyards. And I love this. The Navy Facilities Engineering Command issued a statement saying the project would improve safety by providing state-of-the-art magazine storage and significantly reducing the movement of ordnance on Oahu roadways. And the statement later added, the safety of community residents is of the utmost importance, and explosive safety is calculated with extreme care and scrutiny. What does that even mean, Michael? Unless the residents of Oahu, at least close to where these facilities are being built, don't have a position paper to even look at, which is why I think they're kind of getting snowballed.
I would say that's exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
And they're definitely, building up munition storage facilities here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
I just wish that the people of Oahu had a little better understanding of what was going to go down.
Well, let's face it. Ever since the U.S. took over Hawaii, it's not like the locals have really had much of a say in their affairs.
No, they haven't had much control at all, And I'm going to start, because I know we've got a break coming up.
Yeah, about 20 seconds.
Yeah. I'm going to start the next segment with an article that comes from Sky News, which is a British news organization. And it's about the incredible number of Yemeni children who are facing famine and the reality that it's going to get worse.
Yes, it is. It probably is going to get worse. All right, we're going to take a break here for some commercials, and we'll be back with the lovely Lady Claire after these few words.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did the towers.
Welcome back to our show here. And again, a nudge that Republic Broadcasting is in the middle of a perpetual fundraiser. The postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. And now back to the Lady Claire and your next story. You're finishing up the one that you teased before the commercial break.
Yes. Apparently in Yemen, more than 3 million people, including children, have been displaced. And the UN says, and I think, Mike, this is a very conservative estimate, more than 10,000 people have died in the last 18 months, 100,000 since 2015, and 80% of its population of 30 million are dependent on aid. And more than 200 million require urgent humanitarian assistance, almost half of them children, kids. There is little sign of an end to the conflict, and one could possibly consider it a proxy war,
yes,
if you will.
Very much so.
With the U.S. supporting the Saudis. And we don't know how much support is real, but the Houthis being supported by the Shia Iranians. And the roots of this war go back to the Arab Spring, when you had huge crowds of protesters forcing the ouster of long-standing strongman Ali Abdullah Saleh. The transition to his successor, President Hadi, was plagued with problems. There was corruption, political infighting, economic failure, and they all strengthened the Houthi movement, which is Shia Islam, supported by Iran. So the Houthis took over the capital of Sana'a and ousted the Sunni government. Neighboring Saudi Arabia looked on in alarm at the rise of a group it sees as proxies for Iran, its longstanding enemies. The Saudis began their military intervention, and Yemen has become a proxy conflict. Sunni Saudi Arabia and its great Shia enemy, Iran, have used the war to play out their longstanding rivalry. And the article goes on to say that the Obama administration was a little more even-handed in treating Saudi Arabia and Iran. But the Trump administration has given the Saudis their full-blown support, and Saudi-Iranian enmity has only deepened. Well, Mike, here's the way I look at it. Okay, by supporting Saudi Arabia's onslaught against Yemen, the U.S. government, and tell me if I'm wrong here, because if I'm wrong, I need you to tell me. The U.S. government has positioned itself as an enabler of genocide against the Yemeni people.
Yes.
I mean, hello. If there was a War Crimes Anonymous, the government of the U.S. needs to start going to meetings now, and right the heck now.
Well, you know, the International Criminal Court is opening up an investigation into possible U.S. war crimes in several areas, including Yemen.
Yeah, yeah. And for that, they're being sanctioned.
Yes.
And Pompeo was threatening all sorts of terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where I come from, pardon me for paraphrasing Gertrude Stein here, but a war crime is a war crime is a war crime.
Yes.
And it sells weapons to the Saudi government, prevents aid, desperately needed aid, from getting in, and advises the Saudi government about the best venues for attack. Now, what the Saudis are doing, indiscriminately shelling schools, houses, educational facilities, killing women.
Civilian infrastructure, basically,
children,
yes.
Children, infants, and the medically fragile elderly. Now, the water infrastructure has been bombed to smithereens, and it is possible that water has also been weaponized. And so cholera is now rampant and can very easily take a hold of already fragile people. Now, I really don't think that the U.S. government is thinking straight about this conflict at
mm-hmm.
all. And the reason why, Mike, is that unfortunately, President Trump has been, if you will, infected by the vision of the Israeli Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu.
Yes.
Who constantly talks about Iran as being an existential threat. No. Financial, maybe existential? No. Not at all.
No.
And what is going to happen is I see the only possibility for peace in the region, and I'm going to use an old parallel. Anyone out there remember the Three Stooges?
Oh, yes.
Manny, Moe, and Curly, okay?
Yep.
And where Moe used to just smack him across the face and say, that's stupid. What needs to happen for peace to happen in the region is we need to get Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Iran to a conference table, make sure that the plumbing is working, lock the doors until they come out with some basic confidence strengthening moves for all of these nations. Because as long as there is this horrible enmity
mm-hmm.
between Iran and Israel, I mean, Israel's going to play it up to the hilt.
They are. We got to take a break here for a commercial, so hold that thought.
I will.
And we'll be back after these few words.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show. And Claire, if you could just sort of pick up where you left off before.
Yes, I will. As many of you who listen to the show or watch it know, I turned 71 this last May. And in looking at the entire situation in the Middle East, I think we have three leaders, if you will, who are listening to the voices in their own head. And when people do this as individuals, their problems. When people in leadership in government situations do this, their problems for the citizens of their countries. But I think we need to start looking at how Saudi Arabia and Israel can find ways to cooperate. I think we need to look for ways in which Iran and Israel can cooperate. Now, to the leadership of Israel right now, they have a tendency to want to keep their people in a situation of fear.
Constant fear.
Constant
keep
fear.
Keep them under control.
And maybe, I mean, fear is debilitating only to a certain point.
Yes.
And then people get tired of it.
You can literally burn the neurotransmitter that signals fear out of your brain. You literally can lose the ability to be afraid. And it, you know, that's what governments are really afraid of.
Yes.
Is that they won't be able to keep us controlled. Afraid of Iran or a fear of Russia or fear of China. Yeah. Fear of the coronavirus.
And the
fear of the Brady Bunch coming back.
Yes, something like that. And it's very interesting because we have Persian Jews who've been living in Persia for generations, thousands of years. This, Mike, is the largest Jewish population outside of Israel.
Correct.
I mean, hello. And
I think one of the world's oldest synagogues, yeah, continuously operating synagogues, mm-hmm, is in Iran.
Yeah. And when these people have been offered the opportunity to make Aliyah, which is Hebrew, for leaving to migrate to Israel, they're kind about it, but they've politely refused. So I would love to find someone with some geopolitical credibility left. And unfortunately, it's not anyone in the Trump administration I can turn my tongue to.
No, it isn't.
Has got to start working the phones and seeing what can be done to ratchet down the tensions here before we do have a regional war which escalates into a world war, if that might be possible.
Of course it's possible. In fact, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
Everybody's locked and loaded and waiting for starting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I thought we could maybe bop over to Belarus, and there have been some significant developments there. Apparently, the president, Lukashenko, has closed the western borders, put the army on highest alert, and underlying repeated claims that protests are driven or stage managed, if you will, by the West. And I don't think Lukashenko was really wrong in that assessment.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. And the second thing is Ukraine and U.S. military exercises have begun as Russia is holding drills in Belarus. The U.S. and Ukraine launched a joint military exercise yesterday, 2 days after Russia began joint military drills with forces in neighboring Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying that that does not get nasty, mm-hmm, and that there isn't a miscalculation. And apparently, there have been some diplomatic standoffs which have stalled the EU's Belarus sanctions plan. And the EU lawmakers are saying that Lukashenko should not be recognized as Belarus president after November, because the actual end of his term, I believe, is 5 December.
Yes.
And Petras Auštrevičius, a Lithuanian centrist EU lawmaker, said that the EU needs a new approach toward Belarus, which includes the termination of any cooperation with Lukashenko's regime. Now, I frankly don't know that the situation in Belarus is going to stay as it is, because I think it's got to move in one direction or another, that Lukashenko was able to retain control, and there have been mass protests since the August elections, which opposed probably the biggest threat to Lukashenko and his attempts to extend his 26-year rule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, 26 years. You know, it's an awful lot of power, and maybe he should figure out, you know.
Well, it would help if we had an accurate reading of the election results, because
yeah,
he claimed an 80% victory. The official elections people in Belarus said was actually 60%, but he still did win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the shouts of election fraud may be part of the campaign to start a color revolution, to bring Lukashenko down, mm-hmm, and bring Belarus into the Western sphere of influence.
Yeah, I think a big issue in this is just what Putin is going to be willing to do to save his regime or work or cooperate with another regime in Belarus.
Mm-hmm.
Because they historically have been neighbors and friends, and Belarus has been very pro-Russian. But I have to wonder just what Putin is going to be willing to do to keep the current president in power. Mike, your thoughts about that?
Well, he's definitely going to work to keep Lukashenko in power, because that, mm-hmm, keeps Belarus in the Russian sphere of influence.
Right.
And Putin sees Belarus as a buffer zone, mm-hmm, against NATO aggression, which NATO is certainly demonstrating they're getting ready to do.
Yeah.
And obviously, if Belarus's government is overthrown and they're brought into the Western sphere of influence, that's going to make the Russians even more afraid that ultimately the U.S. goal is to overthrow Russia's government,
mm-hmm,
and bring them under U.S. hegemonic domination.
Yeah. I'd like to go over to Venezuela, because apparently the EU has a request to push back the elections later than December 6th. And Maduro said, no can do. You know, this is a constitutional mandate, for heaven's sakes. And the EU is suggesting pushing back the voting to meet conditions for the bloc to send an observer mission.
If they can't organize an observer mission between now and December, then that's a flimsy excuse.
I know. And but I also know that there are elements, if you will, inside the Republican Party that are looking for an October surprise to buoy strength for President Trump. I don't even know if this election is going to be allowed to happen. And I am not sure, hon, if we're looking at some very vile behavior against either Venezuela or Iran, with Pompeo having made the statement that the U.S. will continue the U.N. mandate against Iran's receiving foreign weapons, even without the U.N. voting to continue it. But apparently they're looking to do something to energize his base. And something against either government may very well be the ticket. But it's interesting, again, watching the U.S. geopolitical behavior right now. And I mentioned this earlier. It seems like we are pushing alleged enemies closer together with the military and economic tactics we've been using, and the accusatory pronouncements are becoming more fierce than they ever have been before. So I would not be surprised at some kind of action against either Venezuela or Iran before the elections. Michael, which do you think is more likely?
I would think could be either, could even be both. I know we have warships cruising the Caribbean off the Venezuelan coast here right now, dodging the storms.
Yes.
And but I disagree with the idea that yet another war is going to help Trump, because I see this country as being very war weary. And especially looking at Afghanistan going on 20 years.
Yeah.
And having utterly failed to accomplish any of its original stated goals.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
I think Americans are tired of war. They're tired of all the money that's being poured into the war machine. They want that money poured back into the civilian infrastructure in this country.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get America, you know, back on path to being a modern republic with a democratically elected government.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're tired of the infighting and the gridlock. And I think a new war would actually work against Trump.
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, there is no 19-year-old young person in this country who hasn't seen the U.S. a day when it's been without war.
That's true.
Hasn't seen it at all. Now, I have a very interesting article on something that we haven't heard a lot about in the West. And this comes to us from the New Arab, the English language edition. Now, it's a blog that I'm just starting to read. I consider it both intelligent and serious. And they're talking in this article about the Moria camp tragedy in Greece. And it's about Europe's failed migration policy.
Okay.
And apparently this was a huge fire. And it highlights the failure of a political calculus designed to create misery. Now, apparently, last week, three fires started on the outskirts of this notorious Moria camp on the Greek island of Lesbos. And apparently they were fanned by warm summer winds, gathered momentum, and moved inward. And as the fire engulfed makeshift tents and ISO boxes, the 13,000 camp residents fled. Can you blame them? I mean, hello. By the morning, almost all of the camp had been burned, charred to the ground. Now, fires in Moria were not uncommon. Cramped living conditions, flammable tents, and limited access to cooking equipment forced people to use open fires in dangerous circumstances for cooking and warmth. And a six-year-old kid died from just one of these fires last March. But this was different. And it appears that it was quite deliberate, and it was a material destruction of the camp, which was near total. Now, questions remain as to whether it was lit by protesting refugees or organized far-right groups, and how 13,000 people were kept trapped in this holding pen during the pandemic, despite restless demands to evacuate
them.
Relentless demands.
Okay.
And the EU migration policy is failed. Now, they interviewed a young lady from Sweden, Anna Benediktsson, 28-year-old lady who has worked with Search and Rescue and a legal support organization in Lesbos since 2018. And apparently, this facility was originally built on an old military base designed to hold only 2,500 asylum seekers in some very basic facilities. And what the EU did was allowed Moria to become a hell in order to stop people from coming to Europe. And the legislation that forced so many to live in Moria can be traced back to the EU-Turkey deal in 2016. The memorandum designated a limited number of hotspot areas to manage migratory flows. And that meant that newly arrived refugees in Greece were required to stay here while their asylum decision was processed. But people kept arriving and kept arriving because of continued violence in nearby countries. And the numbers just swelled. And over 22,000 were crammed into shanty-like space at its height. Now, the EU could have admitted the EU-Turkey deal had failed a number of years before and reimagined their entire approach to asylum reception. But since it was built, the living conditions in the camp have deteriorated. I mean, people, just wrap your minds around this for a second. People spent hours a day in line waiting to get food, 3 hours for food, 2 hours for the toilet. 250 people would be forced to share a single toilet and shower facility. No medical access, no effective access to rehabilitation for survivors of torture, rape, and war. And asylum procedures could also be almost impossible to follow. And this lady talked with a gal who missed her asylum interview because she was giving birth at the time. Hello. The asylum service rejected her claim because she didn't show up, and there was no lawyer available to help her appeal that decision. Now, apparently, the people in power in Greece right now, it's a right-wing New Democracy Party, resumed power in July 2019, and you've seen a marked escalation in anti-refugee rhetoric and policy. Now, Sivas Shahabi is a refugee from Iran who was living in Greece and who is among those who argue that the conditions in the Moria camp have been deliberately designed as a deterrence measure. Apparently, the EU allowed Moria to become a hell in order to get people to stop coming. Now, Greek politics in the far right are again embedded. And since the right-wing New Democratic Party resumed power, there has been a marked escalation in anti-refugee rhetoric and policy. Now, some members of the dissolved neo-Nazi Golden Dawn Party swelled its ranks, and critics argued that greater restrictions on refugees are now being used by New Democracy to distract the electorate from other unpopular measures, you know. And Lesbos and other Aegean islands have been a stage for Europe's far right. In March, a number of far-right and fascist organizations descended on the islands to back protests by locals against plans to build new refugee detention facilities. In the last month, their campaign has escalated again. And just like in March, fascist groups have been back to attack, sabotage, and threaten both humanitarian workers and asylum seekers. Some residents believe that it is groups like this that actually set the fires in Moria. And apparently, when the fire started, on the night of the fire, mm-hmm. Mr. Shahabi is recounting, when people fled, the far-right moped gangs were waiting. Some threatened the refugees with guns and cudgels, and the police did nothing to protect them. And repeatedly, the people living inside the camp have protested peacefully. They've written letters, hunger strikes, marches, rallies, all peaceful, by the way. Did nothing. The answer they received was silence and now more tear gas. And Mike, what do we need to do with these issues of refugees who are caught in the crossfire in these kinds of situations?
Well, I playing devil's advocate here, mm-hmm. I mean, Greece and these other islands in the Aegean were also caught in the crossfire. from these globalists trying to argue, you know, that borders should come down and everybody yeah. should be allowed to go mm-hmm. where they want to go. And it started this huge flood of people
yeah.
and the nations are trying to deal with it. Mm-hmm. It's caused all kinds of problems in a lot of different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the ideal solution would be to start sending these people back home and sort of calm down the wars and everything that are going on in their homes so they feel safe going back home.
Mm-hmm.
But we're witnessing one of the largest human migrations since World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a problem as well. We got to take a break for commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And welcome back to our show here, last segment on the Palahana Friday. And Claire, you have one more story for us, I take it.
Yes, I have a little bit more depth. You were talking about George Soros,
yes.
the guy about whom you cannot say anything negative, apparently, on television.
Yes.
There is a movement afoot to revoke the U.S. citizenship of George Soros.
Good luck on that one.
And cancel his passport. Now, there is a, this is said to be sponsored by something calling itself the Radical Republican Party, to President Don Trump, and what he has been doing to support organizations. Now, I looked it up, and your citizenship may be revoked if the U.S. government can prove that you joined a subversive organization within 5 years of becoming a naturalized citizen. Membership in such organizations is considered a violation of the oath of U.S. allegiance. Now, examples would be Nazi Party and Al-Qaeda. But there seems to be a radical flaw in this law because it says nothing about funding organizations seeking to overthrow the U.S. government. And Mike, in my mind, that's got to be changed and quickly, because Soros attorneys, of whom he has innumerable, I'm sure, on speed dial, can reasonably respond that he is not a member of an anti-American group, just a funder of many.
Do you think that puts him in violation of the USA Patriot Act,
okay,
which says, you know, encouraging or sponsoring mm-hmm. violence to change the political system is yeah. defined as an act of terror.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, when you've got that much money in political pull, mm-hmm. Soros is an untouchable, like the Bush family, like mm-hmm. the Clinton family.
Yep.
And I keep waiting for his old age to catch up with him.
Yeah.
But I understand his son is just as fanatical as he is.
Hmm. Okay. I didn't know he had a son.
I believe that he does.
Okay. Now, I don't like Newt Gingrich or his politics in general, but on this issue, I agree with him 1,000%, Mike.
Yes.
Absolutely. It shouldn't have happened.
And we just got an email from Fox News saying, shut up about George Soros.
Okay. Well, sweetheart, with what would you like to end our show today?
Well, let's see. I like this next story you've got here. Support for Black Lives Matter falls further.
Yep.
Americans see the protest as riots, believes there is a war on the police. And we were talking about some of these polls here.
Mm-hmm.
Fox News poll shows more voters consider the unrest in three U.S. cities stemming from Black Lives Matter to be riots rather than protests.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a huge amount of violence out there. The poll was published last Sunday, found that 48% of likely voters surveyed described violence in New York, Portland, and Kenosha, Wisconsin to be riots, compared with just 40% who saw them as protests and the rest were undecided. A third poll from Rasmussen reveals that 59% of voters believe there's a war being waged on police officers. A whopping 80% of Republicans said it is obvious to them that there is a war on police, compared to 39% of Democrats. In addition, a majority of independents, 60%, agreed with that statement. Previously in 2018, 43% of respondents believe there's an ongoing war against police. Okay, there's the music. It's time for us to end this show here. Please stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. We really need your help to get through this rough patch. Have a really good weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Aloha, America.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.